you'll get to a point where the guy with the gun says, oh, I also like puppets dancing. And so you have to start controlling puppets, and you're dancing the puppets, and he loves the puppets, but then he's like, more puppets. And then you add like a puppet on each finger, and you're dancing all 10 puppets on all your fingers. And he's like, that's not enough puppets. So you got to add puppets to your toes. And next thing you know, you're dancing 20 puppets, and you're like, wait a second. I don't even like puppets. I like dancing, and I've become a puppeteer all of a sudden. I think...
That's like actually such an insane thing you just said, and it's crazy how true it is.
That's what I'm saying, dude. No one ever listens to me.
Disturbing the peace for some peace of mind. Sleeping in jeans, I'ma need a knife. OD on the cheap advice. OC on the cheapest flight. Lately I've been on the move trying to get to something, but I told her I've been running just to see the sights.
How about you kick us off with a catchy hook that'll get people to listen all the way through an hour and a half long podcast?
That's such a good idea. Let me just refer to all of the catchy hooks I have in mind. Catchy hooks. I feel like...
Nothing hooks an audience faster than 30 seconds of silence.
Yeah. Okay, I got a short topic we could start on.
Okay.
And listen, stay with me. I'm sorry to start on AI. I know it's not fun to talk about, but this is fun, I promise.
That's okay, because I actually have a fun AI-relevant thing to say, too, so.
Oh, perfect.
Let's do it. Okay. It's been a while anyway. It's been a while.
Okay, perfect. AI, what's the first things that comes to mind, Shafe? Impending doom, the end of the human race, deep fakes, political upheaval, world war, you know, those are usually among the downsides of AI, right?
Right. That's why I was going to say all that.
Well, there is something far worse than any of those things I just listed. The ultimate worst thing that AI can ever do and has already done is fake product photos on Instagram.
Oh my gosh, these? Yes, this is such a good... Dude. You are so right about that. There are so many things I would love to buy that do not exist.
Dude, it's so brutal, especially around like Christmas time when... like my family was asking me for gift ideas, and I was trying to think of stuff, and I was like, well, Instagram's great for gift ideas because they recommend you all these products and stuff you don't need. But yeah, this Christmas I was scrolling through the Explore page, and you get the coolest looking camera you've ever seen in your life, and you see a Game Boy that is shaped like a Nintendo 64 controller, or like just the wildest, coolest looking tech, and none of it's real.
Dude, it's true. I almost bought it because you can't buy it, but I've almost gotten, I can't say, Shafe, okay. What is wrong with me, dude? I'm 27 years old. I just said what I couldn't say, and then I said it right. I can't deal with that. Okay, anyway.
I'm 27 years old.
I'm unable to buy such a sick keyboard.
I was going to buy it, but I was unable to buy it. Why couldn't you buy
my
it?
My AirPod fell out.
Oh, okay. No.
Anyway. Yeah, there's been sick keyboards where I've been like, I would buy this immediately if this was real. Same with computer mouses, watches, cameras. And it makes me wonder why things don't look like that. Why things don't look like that?
I know, seriously. I don't know if it should lead to development in how things look, because I'm sure there's way more manufacturing problems with it, but man,
Am I wrong in saying all of those things are totally 90s pilled too? It all looks like 90s tech.
That's true. Yeah, for sure. The ones I'm getting,
it's like kind of boxy and
A lot of pastel colors or like clear plastics.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's true. That's true. So I don't know. To me, like, there's a lot of dark sides of AI, but nothing really beats seeing something you want and you can't get.
Dude, that's like a whole new invention of like, they built another level on top of first world problems. That's like 0.5 world problems.
Yeah. No kidding.
I can't
man.
Buy fake luxury items that are created by artificial intelligence. The story I have of kind of sick AI, I actually used it like for something practical. And I'm making the video and I needed a radio voice, but I wanted a real radio voice sounding voice. And I don't think I have a radio voice. Plus,
'50s type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I went to 11 Labs, which is this like AI audio thing. And they have this free speech to speech feature where you can upload an MP3 and completely change the voice. Like, you can change it to a woman's voice or a radio host guy's voice or whatever. And it sounds so real. It's crazy. So I just used it for a video that's not done yet, but it came out like pristine, like so good.
And that's a free feature?
Yeah, currently. I don't know
that's
how, but
sick. Can you make it change your own voice just into a different accent, but keep it be your voice?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the one that I tried originally was like a British accent, and I didn't really like it. Didn't sound radio-y, but yeah. Yeah, I think the free version, you only have a list of like 12 options. But on their paid version, it's like, it's ridiculous what you can do. It's so cool. But then I was thinking about, I don't know if I'm outing you here, but at one point you were talking about potentially making a second channel called Jake Frew Sucks, which is just a channel that does commentary on your own channel. But that was the first thing that came to mind, was you could make a whole other channel that's not your voice. Like, no one would know it's you.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. Because, yeah, that still is such an appealing idea. I'm sure I'll never do it because it would be so much work. But, yeah, the idea was basically, like, to be my own alter ego that's there in my head all the time that hates all my videos and wants to tear them apart. I feel like that would be kind of therapeutic to just put it up and be, like, a roast channel of my own channel. But that'd be sick to do it anonymously. Dang.
I don't know. It's kind of like, dang, you could get away with so much because no one would know. No one would know who it is.
Yeah. That
so
also
I got my
kind
own,
of...
I got my own set of ideas for a channel.
I'll bet you do. I'll bet. That also kind of confirms my theory I had about an ad made by a YouTuber where it just sounded like him, but he sounded like he had an Australian accent a little bit. And I was like, I swear he just made this ad, but then either used AI to recreate
smacked
his voice
accent on
or just did it in an Australian accent to like troll the company or something. But,
okay, here's another crazy detail. When I was going on, I was trying to figure out how to do it because I don't know, when it's like, when the options are like voice to voice, speech to speech, it's kind of hard to know like which one you're. So anyway, I uploaded the same audio file of me to a different thing, which was, I think like, I don't remember, it might've been voice to voice or something, but basically it created an AI voice of my voice from the 1 30-second clip I uploaded. And so then it prompted me to type something and then my voice would read what was being typed. So in less than 2 minutes, I made an AI Schaefer. And we're screwed, dude, because you could upload, I don't even want to put this out there, but you could upload clips from this podcast onto this thing. And someone could make a whole podcast off of our voice. It's crazy. It's insane. No one get any ideas, of course.
Wow. That is crazy. But
and I did it on accident. I accidentally created a replica of my own voice.
Yeah,
on AI.
you clicked the wrong button.
Yeah,
man. Well, they may be able to recreate our voices, but
they'll never recreate our smiles.
Create the the riveting topics and conversations.
That's
that
true,
we have.
Dude. AI you know? Couldn't even come close to being as stupid as we are. Artificial unintelligence.
Yeah, man, that's cool. That's really exciting. Is that? I don't know if you want to reveal your future video ideas on the pod. Is that video coming out soon?
Hopefully,
with the AI voice.
Yeah, I don't really know how in love I am with the output of it. Like, it came out cool. I just think I don't know. Well, yeah, I mean, this kind of could open the door to another topic, but essentially I'm feeling a little bit of pressure to upload something new because some other videos I uploaded kind of started doing well. And so then there's this artificial pressure to like, oh, I got to make something really fast, but I'm fighting that urge. And instead I'm going to take time to make sure it's good because I could smash it out by the end of the week, but I'm not going to, I don't think, because I'm better than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, oh my gosh. I could talk about so many things about that sentence for forever. But I mean, really briefly, I don't think YouTube cares at all anymore how fast you post the next video. So I think that's totally fine.
I think I have quite a few more subscribers than I did. And so I'm like, oh, if I subscribed, I would... I don't know. But so, I mean, yeah, there's a whole line of thinking that says like, oh, you want people to like stay and get whatever. But I know deep down, I don't actually even care about that. So I've rewired like on my channel membership. Yeah. I made a video for the channel membership like 2 days ago and I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to try and have this video done before like whatever, the 4th of February. And now I'm like, why did I say that? That's not even true. I'm going to wait till the video is good. So I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things I kind of want to talk about along those lines. I know we would be late to talking about this, like we are to everything we talk about, but the whole the mass quitting of YouTube conversation, like that's very, I don't know, very popular, like clickbaity type thing to talk about right now. But I do think there's plenty of stuff we could talk about along those lines.
I shouldn't even say this because it's pointless to say, and I know how this comes across, but I was gonna be gone for a week last time we made a podcast episode, and so we weren't able to be timely about it, but I was ahead of the curve on noticing this thing of people, and I was like oh, that'd be such a good podcast topic, but then I had to leave for a week. So all that to say, we almost did it on time.
We almost were on time. We just weren't able to talk.
I had this thought like, oh, everyone's quitting. That would be an interesting thing to talk about. And then like the next day, everyone was making videos about it. And I was like, dang it. I like actually was on top of something and it didn't matter.
Yeah. Well, we should talk about it anyway.
That's a pointless thing to say. Yeah.
Yeah. We knew about the band before it was cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we know about that like a week ahead of everyone else. We just decided not to talk about it.
Well, let's talk about it anyway because I think it's interesting and I think it really ties in with, I don't know, I want to hear about your channel growth feelings and stuff. So let's start with that. I want to start with that. I feel like
we'll get that over with.
Yeah. I am just like I don't know. Similar to the I knew about the band before they were cool conversation. It's like it's such a frustrating feeling to see any YouTuber that you're just like, this is so good. I know this is so good. Why haven't people caught on to this? Why is this not bigger? So all that to say, that's just been so true about you and so many people on YouTube for such a long time that it's so, I don't know, rewarding for me to see like a bunch of growth happening on your channel finally.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Well, maybe I'll give a quick little timeline of kind of what's happened, because I think that might be helpful going forward talking about this specifically, because it's kind of interesting the way it all transpired. Basically, and I'll make this quick. Basically, I had a sponsored video deal, and so I had to make 3 sponsored videos for a brand, and that's way, and it had to be 3 in 3 months, which is way faster than I usually output stuff. So I was kind of struggling to come up with ideas, which sort of led to me making some videos I wouldn't have otherwise made, one of which being a lens review. That's like not something I would traditionally do, but the deadline was coming up really fast. So I whipped this lens video out, felt terrible about it because I don't like reviewing like gear and stuff. And I remember thinking, and it wasn't even that long too, like, yeah, there's very little incentive at this point to upload something under 8 minutes on YouTube because the chances that they'll push it are way lower. So I was like, this is a total throwaway video. The last 2 I made for the brand didn't do anything either. So I was like, well, might as well just, it's basically like just putting the gravestone on the dead body of this brand deal I had. Yeah. And so I upload it. And I remember even talking to you and just being like, yeah, I made this like throwaway video, so RIP me. and then upload it, closed YouTube, went and lived my life, checked back in, already had 10,000 views. None of my videos get 10,000 views. They all stay below that. And so I was like, oh my God. It was 1 out of 10, which on YouTube means that out of the last 10 videos you uploaded, it's the highest performing. And I texted you and I sent a screenshot and I just said, I hate YouTube, because it was like the lowest effort video I'd made in such a long time, other than the other 2 sponsored videos I'd made. And so
yeah.
I was super frustrated because I had made a video before that I thought was really good. And I was like, this video is completely worthy of hitting the algorithm. I think the thumbnail is really good. I think the title is really good. So this one video is blowing up, and then I'm like, well, and one thing that was unique to this lens video is I actually put an end screen on, which I usually don't, which just means you can link to like subscribe or another video. So I had the opportunity to put another video in the end screen. And I never really do that. And usually if I do, I just set it to, YouTube has a setting that's like suggest best video for viewer or whatever, which algorithmically looks at what the person who watches your video, the other videos they watch, and suggest one of your videos that most matches that. So that's what I usually do. But I was like, I know that this video that I made earlier is better than this stupid lens video. I know it. So I pinned this video about the outdoor industry as the watch later video. So then that video started picking up a little bit of traction. And at the time, its click-through rate, which generally, like, if you can get 9% click-through rate, that's, like, really, really good, right? So its click-through rate was at 4%, super low. But I was like, YouTube is dumb. I know this is good. I know it's a good title. I know it's a good thumbnail. Anyway, within 2 days, the click-through rate jumps to 12%, and that video, my outdoor industry video, just starts, like, picking up crazy steam. So by the time we're done recording, it'll probably have hit 100,000 views. Now, I did it, dude. It wasn't the algorithm. I was like, this is a good video. And then YouTube was like, oh yeah, I guess that is a good video.
Oh yeah.
Which I've been saying for 14 years about my channel. So yeah. It was a little bit of this week felt like a little bit of a win, because for one, it was like the video I didn't care about started picking up, which was like, great, that's fine, whatever. But then I forced the one I cared about to do well. And that felt like, it felt like 2 middle fingers in YouTube's face. And I'm just so happy about that. I'm more stoked about that than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think I'm pretty sure in the last podcast, it was right after you had posted your lens video and it was doing well. And you basically said, yeah, like, yeah, whatever. I'm glad it's doing well, but I wish this outdoor industry video was doing well, because I care way more about it. And I think it's a better video. And here we are a week later and it's all come together, which is so cool. And
It's cool too, and because I think out of those two, if one's going to do a million, it's going to be the outdoor industry video too. Like it's performing so much better.
Yeah. Even than and the it's lens just video. A, yeah, it's such an underserved market too. Like there's 600 billion lens videos out there,
yep.
But like outdoor industry stuff on YouTube just isn't that big. There's not that much stuff on
it's
it.
It's true.
Or at least I'm not in that circle.
Well, it's really true. Like it's honestly hilarious to me how cringe the outdoor industry YouTube world is. It's like it's just waiting for someone to come along and not be an absolute massive sellout kook. So I think I tapped into something that someone will pick up on someday. Someone will get in on that like corner of the I think I'm too committed to making diverse content to be that guy. But man, if someone just comes along and makes videos in the outdoor industry that aren't bad, they're going to do so well.
Yeah. Yeah. Just fully focuses on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm going to merge topics now because to me, it seems like most successful YouTubers, this is just going to be a heavy YouTube episode, I feel like. We're probably going to be talking about YouTube the entire episode, so
yeah.
If that's not what you're into, I'm sorry. Maybe go back to another episode. But
maybe watch a podcast that doesn't have two YouTubers on it.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like this quitting conversation on YouTube, it's all about burnout, and it's all about how these stats and incentives you get behind the scenes on YouTube just really wire your brain to be like, okay, I have to figure out how to make more people click. I have to figure out how to make people watch longer. I have to figure out how to make more videos so that I can make more money. And like that right there is the trap that's getting all these people to quit YouTube because they just get so tired, essentially.
Yeah. Yep.
And so far, I think you and I have had a really good personal balance on how we handle our YouTube channels. And I also think that that is very largely due to the fact that neither of us have ever just existed solely off our YouTube channels to make a living.
Yeah.
But I don't know, now that like you're seeing this like recent growth and influx and stuff, and you're talking about wanting to post that video quicker, do you feel that pressure? Or are you making like do you have any intentional ideas of how you want your YouTube channel to go?
This is how YouTube feels. It feels like there's a guy with a gun on your head and he says, be creative. And then you start doing something and he's like, no, not like that. And then you start doing something. You start like doing a different dance and then he's like, no, not like that. And then you do like one, you do the right dance move and he's like, yeah, that's how you gotta be creative. Just like that. Just the way daddy likes it. That's how it feels. And so with what's happened this week, I'm like,
yeah, but then you keep doing that move. He's like, I like it. And then one day he'll just be like, I hate it.
Knock it
what
off.
What are you doing?
Yeah,
knock literally. It off. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Literally.
And then you got to start changing a bunch of dances again.
Yep. And then you have to
see there's also a side posse of other guys with like one guy's a Nerf blaster, one guy's a squirt gun. So you're not as afraid of their guns, but they're like, no, like, I liked the last dance. Go back to the last dance.
Yeah, dude, and you're just standing in the middle like, man, I started dancing because I love it. And now everyone's mad at me. So the roller coaster I've been on this week. So first off, let me just say, the time it took me to get to 1,000 subscribers was about 12 years. The time it took me to get from 1,000 to 10,000 was like another year, I think, which was kind of crazy. And then 10 to 20 was even faster. And then I got 10,000 subscribers in 2 days this week, which is so insane. Never thought that would happen. So
congrats, man. That's so cool.
But the other side of that is that's the guy with the gun saying, yeah, do that dance. Look how good things can be if you just do that dance. So my initial reaction is, oh, I got to dance just like this, even faster and harder. Mm-hmm. But what I know for a fact, because I've heard it from a million people and I felt it myself, is it's not going to be fulfilling to keep doing that dance, even if the result is I get 100,000 subscribers in one day or what. It doesn't matter. And so my strategy moving forward is I do have this video I kind of wanted to make anyway, recorded. I'm going to upload it on Wednesday, but it's a pretty low effort one. And then past that, the next video I'm making, the next high effort one I'm doing, is like a video about anger, which is not searchable. It has nothing to do with the outdoor industry or cameras. And that's the plan. You know, it's like I could go make another outdoor industry video. I could go make another lens review, and it would probably serve me super well as far as growth is concerned. But I refuse. I'd rather have the guy. Never mind. I'd rather suffer the consequences of not playing the game than compromise on my creative.
Yeah, I mean, if he shot you, you couldn't dance anymore. So the analogy kind of breaks down.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, yeah.
But
taser.
Maybe,
he's got a taser.
No, it turns out he shoots you, but it's all full of blanks. It turns out the threat was never real any of the time, but it felt real. But he wasn't an actual threat. It turned out you just needed to do whatever dance move you wanted to do all along.
That is true. That is true. That's very true. And I actually see, as far as the conversation of people quitting, I think quitting is almost like it's almost too big of a word to describe what's happening, because you look at like I'll give two examples. Matt D'Avella has said he's just scaling down. He's not going to work with 10 people anymore. He's just going back to a solo person channel. I don't know if you saw Caleb Pike, who's the guy behind DSLR Video Shooter. He said the same thing. He was basically like, I want to keep making videos, but I'm not even going to bother with the SEO and the thumbnail and the title and everything. Yeah. He's like, I'm scaling back, where it's like, if there are people who care now, that's enough for me to continue doing this. So I'm just going to do what I want to do. And I feel like more than quitting, people are just quitting like dancing the way they're supposed to dance at the expense of like losing a huge amount of attention. But it's like, who cares? It's way better to have a healthier mental balance and do what you love than it is to have a bunch of it. Like, as it turns out, just attention is great. The dopamine rush is amazing. I've gotten a huge dopamine rush from it this last week, but it's pointless. It's completely pointless.
Totally.
You can build a sustainable channel with way less than what you would think you would need. So
that's like the, I think the big takeaway from it that I'm getting, and to continue the dancing analogy, the other massive trap is that you'll get to a point where the guy with the gun says, oh, I also like puppets dancing. And so you have to start controlling puppets, and you're dancing the puppets, and he loves the puppets, but then he's like, more puppets. And then you add like a puppet on each finger, and you're dancing all 10 puppets on all your fingers. And he's like, that's not enough puppets. So you got to add puppets to your toes. And next thing you know, you're dancing 20 puppets, and you're like, wait a second, I don't even like puppets. I like dancing, and I've become a puppeteer all of a sudden. I think...
That's like actually such an insane thing you just said, and it's crazy how true it is.
That's what I'm saying, dude. No one ever listens to me.
You're totally right, though.
Like, yeah, because to me, that's what I see being the main thing that is like at the heart of most of these people quitting, is they started making YouTube videos because they love making YouTube videos. And then next thing they know, they became a manager of a bunch of people helping them make videos, and they're so removed from the process. I don't know if you watched Cinecom ever, but Cinecom also quit.
Yeah, I did.
And he basically said exactly that. He was like, I just kind of blinked and woke up and realized I was nothing but a manager. I wasn't doing anything creative. I was just telling a bunch of people what to do, and then they were being creative. And So yeah, all that to say, I think all of the quitting exodus is really good, because I think it's just people realizing you don't have to pursue the endless growth and the higher numbers and especially more money. Like, I think so many of them are realizing the potential that's there, because yeah, there's so much potential. But like me personally, that's been so grounding for me of like, I don't want to run a giant business with a bunch of people. I have zero interest in that. And I get so many emails from people that are like, they'll say like, would you turn down an extra 10K a month? They always start with money. And like, I don't respond to any of them, but the answer is like, no, it's a hell no. Because the only proposition they're giving is, do you want to hire more and more people as short form editors and as TikTok curators and all this stuff? That's like, no, I don't want any part of that.
Well, this goes back to something that I've been spouting about for years now, which is just like, when is enough going to be enough for you? You know, like, for so, that's, I want to grab some of these people. I can think of some in particular, and I just want to shake them and just say like, you have enough, you have enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you're in a position to make some incredible artwork, and like, what an absurdly unique position to be in anyway, that so many people would kill for. Some of the best artists ever, they never get that opportunity. They never get the opportunity to just like make art and make enough to consistently do it. There, you know, it's like there are people who are working so hard doing other things to afford an eighth the amount of time that you have. And instead you're just a salesman. You're just worried about like selling another course or signing people up for another thing or selling another subscription to BetterHelp, which you need because you don't get enough attention on the internet. It's just like, it's just such an endless machine. And what I think there are people who are just like, dude, and I hope YouTube is seeing some of this, and maybe, I mean, they won't, because they are reliant on making the bottom line look good. But I wish they would see what's going on and just be like, man, we're kind of like working these people to death, and we're completely we're completely ruining essentially they're holding back this creative like exodus that could be happening, but this stupid need to like sell shit is just hanging over everyone's head. And I don't know, because it's just like a balance. You got to eat, you got to live and everything, but at the same time, it's like, when you see someone just completely go in the direction of like, I'm just here because I have enough people to sell stuff to that I could make $1 million or whatever, it's like, it kind of jades the whole thing. I don't know.
Dude, the like popular graph that's been circled so many times about like happiness as it relates to money is just so accurate. There absolutely is an amount of money that will make you happier. And I don't remember what the graph is, and obviously it varies where you are in the world, but last I saw, it's somewhere around $80,000 to $100,000. Like, going from like a family making $40,000 to a family making $80,000, that's going to make a huge difference for like peace and happiness, etc. But any more beyond that, the graph just flattens. It like barely increases at all. And I think that's so true. It's like, and it's such a, it, at least in America, it's so pounded into your head that like, if you're in the typical career path, and not even creative or YouTube or anything, if you're just in the typical career path, it's just pounded into your head that there is no reason to change jobs unless it's for more money. Like, that's the whole corporate ladder thing. Like, you find a new role, you find a new company, you find a new position that makes more money. But like, God, how much better could your life be if you just made a few, in this scenario, a few less YouTube videos and made a little less money, but got to make things you care about? It's frustrating because it's so obvious to me, but there's also just a type of person that can't see anything but the money. So I don't know.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know either. My brain just breaks whenever I go down this road, because it frustrates me so much. it frustrates me so much to see people that value money over creative freedom when it's just like, I feel like my existence is just pursuing this ideal world where I can make whatever I want to make. That's all I care about. And I don't know. This whole last couple of weeks have made me even less interested. I feel like there was a period where I was really interested in like going down the traditional Hollywood filmmaking path. But this week has made me like even less interested in it than I thought I could be. Now I'm like, dang, like the idea of having true creative freedom, not having to deal with investors or, you know, this massive corporate structure that makes, oh, you can't have that character do that because that affects this, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. All I'm saying is there's so many negative things with YouTube, but one of the positives, you have so much more creative freedom than you would in so many other realms of creative work. It's like, if you're a graphic designer, it's not like you just get to like design cool graphics all day. It's like you have to make graphics for brands and stuff. But like with YouTube, it's like there is an opportunity to just make stuff you want to make and like make some passive income off of it. That is a magical, magical thing that I'm not going to wish away too soon, because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, totally. Jeez. And yeah, you mentioned Matt Diavella earlier. I feel like his video in particular was the one that just gave me the most peace and excitement of any of them, because he was someone who scaled up, was massively successful, but then now basically he's just saying he's scaling back. It's just him. He's not saying the I'm quitting thing, but he's just saying like, oh, I had it all. You know, I already had it all by myself, making the videos I wanted to. And then I got really stressed out when I brought on all these employees and all these additional responsibilities. And it's just really exciting to see him back at the simple side of it. Yeah. Just like, oh, like the dream was already there all along.
Yeah. And as far as creative output, it's like, I think for anyone, at the most you could really ask for is to make something that touches someone in some way, that speaks to them, you know, on a level deeper than you can really communicate without it being considered like artwork. You know what I mean? And in certain chapters I've thought, well, it's like, oh, you have to get to like this level and work at this level. We were talking about this last week, but like you have to get to this level of production for that to be possible. And I just think it's not true. I think you're able to make something that is every bit as meaningful to as many people by yourself now. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is crazy. And I've always been one that I like boxes, and it's really easy for me to fall into boxes, you know, and just feeling like a certain way that it is the way it should be. But yeah, it really feels like there's just so many new boxes getting made right now, really quickly, that it's all changing so fast that, yeah, I think there's like 1,000 new boxes that could be made that make creative work happen or make it feasible in different ways. And unless you had a continuing thought there, I got an additional thought from my latest videos. So I posted these RGB videos, which, like, they're certainly not, it's not like they're the videos I'm the most proud of or anything. Like they weren't that much work. It was just an idea I was stoked about, and it was, you know, fully for me. And obviously, if I'm posting videos on YouTube where the title is a single letter and a blank color for the thumbnail, it's not going to do good. I knew that. But it's not going to do good, like, per YouTube standards or per my channel standards. The fact that I could post a single letter with a single color on YouTube and get 10,000 plus people to click on it is the craziest thing, like, that I've ever experienced. I have never been more excited about a video than 10,000 people clicking on R than I ever have been about multiple 100K view videos. Like, that was so exciting to me. And the funny flip side to it is before I posted those three videos, I had multiple videos kind of popping off and doing really well. My channel had like pretty solid numbers. And a brand reached out to me and wanted to work together, and we were in the middle of negotiating price. And honestly, just kind of my, it was pretty close to my standard rate that I do for other integrations. And it kind of went quiet, holidays happened, etc. I posted my RGB videos, their views are way, way smaller than I normally get. And then the brand got back to me and said, oh, actually, your average view numbers are like lower than what we're looking for, so maybe we can work together in the future.
Oh my God. So,
they fully just dropped because of the RGB videos, which,
oh my
honestly,
God.
Yeah, it's like, it's a godsend for me because it makes me see like the type of company they are and what they value.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought that was hilarious, and it like, it made me feel really good in a weird way to be like almost closing a deal with this brand and then having them be like, never mind.
Dude, that's so funny too, because as far as the videos themselves, they're like some of the funnest, coolest, most outside the box. Like, I love the videos so much, and I would even say, like, as a consistent Jake Frew viewer, they probably mean more to your audience than those big wide-spreading videos.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this in the past too, but there is a difference between the depth of a view and the width of a view. And yeah, it is very true that,
I
mean, especially shitty companies can only see one side of that. They can only see the wide part, which probably is less likely to, like, even as far as like a brand perspective, is probably even less likely to make sales if you're selling to a bunch of people that don't give a, they don't care at all about.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The context or the backstory.
Totally. That's why I say it's a godsend, because a brand that understands what you just said, like the depth of connection you have with an audience versus just like, oh, your average view count dropped, so we don't want to work together. That the brand that says your average view count dropped, we don't want to work together, they have zero understanding of like what actually works in YouTube advertising versus a brand that you and I both have praised 100 times versus MusicBed, who understands like what it means when you have a connection with an audience and you have trust built up and all of that. So, I had one other thought, but...
Well, one random side thought was, you know what else? I mean, you kind of already said this, but you know what is so cool and such a testament to how much work you've put in the past? It's like you were saying, getting 10,000 views on something that's very not clickable and not recommendable. It's pretty sick that your artwork has amassed hold on. Oh man, Schaefer, it's a podcast. You can't not think of the word on a podcast. I'm 27 years old.
I think 28 is when vocabulary gets solidified, so you're good.
Oh, okay, good. That's good to know. Well, you have like a searchable keyword. You're like, you've created a keyword out of your past body of work that 10,000 people are willing to check out just because Jake Frew made it. That's so insane.
Man.
Like, I mean, you already said that, but
man,
just to circle back on how unbelievably cool that is.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that. That was genuinely one of the coolest feelings I've ever felt posting those videos. And like you said, with the depth of connection, dude, the comments on those videos made me want to cry, because they weren't just the typical like, nice one, like, or whatever. They were like trying to break down shots that I inserted and why they're there and like pulling some meaning or relating it to personal stories of theirs. It was just like the most valuable, like, beautiful comment section I've ever seen. It made me so happy. I'm like, yeah,
dude,
I'm
so
stoked on it. And it's also like another just hilarious anecdote side story is, speaking of YouTube, like always pushing you to do more and bigger and better. After I posted the three of those, the YouTube app gives you like recommendations on how to create your content. They try to give you tips and all this. After I posted those three, I was just getting like all of these recommendations and notifications about like how to make better thumbnails, how to create titles that are more clickable, how YouTube recommends content so you can reach a wider audience. Like the back end of my YouTube app was just like, what are you doing? Like, you got to make better titles. You got to make better thumbnails. Don't this is horrible. Like yeah. Like, it was like red alert. Like, everything is breaking down. We got to help this guy.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. That's so insane. What a ridiculous website. It's so yeah. weird that it can be so good and so toxic all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
Which is why I quit. No, just kidding.
You're deleting your channel? I knew this day was coming. Someday. You probably would wait until it started getting growth to just delete it all.
Well, I can't because it's too much of a mainstream thing to do right now. It would have been a good time, but...
Oh, that's true. That's
true. It's way too mainstream right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Now's your time to go all in when everyone's... You should hire a team. Just hire 10 people, even if you can't afford them. Just get... Get 10 people right now and start cranking out videos.
Dude, that's a good idea. I actually think it would be kind of sick. I mean, yeah, this is by no means. Yeah, I'm not comparing myself to this by any means, and it's not at all the same level. But Wu-Tang Clan has a, like, I think that there's an album they have that only has, I think, I could be totally wrong about this, but I think they have an album that only has one copy. And it's like $1 billion or whatever. It'd be kind of sick, like, if I knew I was on my way out, I had terminal cancer or whatever, basically nuke my channel, save it to a hard drive, put it in a gold box, and hide it somewhere.
That would be really sick. Dude, you just reminded me of, have you ever heard the band Foxy Shazam?
No, I think you've told me about them before, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we talked about them briefly when you're looking through my records, but they actually have a accidental album just like that. So one of their first albums was called Flamingo Trigger, and it was like such a crazy, incredible, weird album, but it was under a record label or something, and some type of big, bad falling out happened with them. And so when Foxy Shazam moved on, they had no access to it. And it was like, God, I don't know all of the details of the story, but we would see them at shows in the future and ask them, like, what happened to Flamingo Trigger? And they're like, dude, we do not have access of it. Like, we don't have copies of it anymore. We can't distribute it online. It's gone. And I have a copy of it on CD, but it's just like, it's nowhere. It's not online. It's not like... I don't know if it was intentional on their part or if it truly was this record label just spitefully deleting it everywhere they possibly could, but...
Dude, that's crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the point of that story other than if you're out there and you have a copy of Flamingo Trigger, I will buy it from you.
Dude, that's a... Okay, I have a super parallel. I have a super parallel story to that, which actually I've... never really told anybody this because it's never really like come up, but okay, there was this song that I found just randomly. I don't even remember how. I think I was searching for another song on Spotify and this one came up in the ranks, and I played it. I was like, oh my God, this song is so sick. And it was by this band called Geese. Okay, now at the time this band was nobody. Like, I'm pretty sure the song itself had under, you know, on Spotify they don't even show you the number if it's under 1,000 views. It just says like under 1,000 plays on the whole. So it was one of those, and I had it saved in my thing, and it was so good actually that I was like, I should buy this CD. And so I was gonna buy a CD of it, but then for some reason I didn't. Anyway, after a while, the album like disappeared on Spotify, and I was so bummed because it was such a sick album, and I couldn't find any CDs for sale or whatever. And so I went on Instagram and I messaged the band and I said, hey, do you guys have, like, what happened to the album? Is there any way to get a hold of it or whatever? And at the time, they had like maybe 800 followers on Instagram, and they messaged back and they were like, yeah, we sold out of the CDs. And then I think they had only made like 15 or something like that. And then they also said, and the hard drive that the album was on got corrupted, so we don't have any of the recordings. And I don't know why it got taken off of Spotify. I don't think they clarified. But anyway, I was like, well, if you ever get it, let me know. And then they're like, okay, we're working on a new album right now, but we'll try and recover those songs. And so they sent the hard drive off to go try and get the songs recovered or whatever. And they messaged me back a couple months later and they're like, it's corrupted. We can't get it back, but we've got a new album coming out. Okay.
Oh my God.
Fast forward, this album comes out and the band like blows up, like fully, like massive. They got, I don't know if you watched The Needle Drop, but Anthony Fantano gave them a yellow flannel. That like huge. Wow. And so now I wonder how many followers they have now on Instagram. Let me look real quick. But dude, it was just so wild because at the time I was like, wow, this is really good. I really like this band. And so I was like messaging them back and forth. So they have 26,000 followers now, but which isn't like insane. But this album, it's called, what is the album called? Their new album is called 3D Country. And yeah, it's just like, it's huge now. It's like all over like indie rock world. And it was just weird. I was just like messaging him back and forth. And then the guy too in the message was like, I can't believe you even remember that song, because it had been made like forever ago. So anyway, that's the end of my story. But it's so fun when that kind of thing happens. I just wish I could have gotten that song back, because I wish I bought the CD when I could.
Seriously. Oh, that's such a bummer. And I also, while you were looking that up, was looking into Flamingo Trigger. And now, apparently, it's back up everywhere, and because they made a remastered version. So they must have done like a Taylor's version type thing where the statute of limitations ended and they recorded their own remastered version of it, because now it's back up. So
dang, that's sick. Well, my claim to fame, I guess, if there's any Geese fans out there, I listened to the whole album that doesn't exist anymore. I'm one of the dang few under 1,000 people have heard it.
Shafe was listening to Geese before they were cool. Just like we knew people were quitting YouTube before it was cool.
Exactly. Jake always makes fun of me too. This is a total side note, but anytime we like have the opportunity to play music, I always play something super weird. It's just like, what's the, I don't know. This isn't funny. Never mind. Fuck. I'm 27 years old. I can't even land a joke.
I don't know how to tell the story as a joke, but yeah, I think it was because I was telling a story about you and you always play such weird music that I never know what it is. So I said, Schaefer's in his car listening to The Monkees or whatever he always listens to. So the running joke now is just that whatever Schaefer's listening to, it's The Monkees.
It's The Monkees, which I don't think I've ever listened to them, but shout out to The Monkees.
I don't think I have either, except for the one song that's Hey Hey, We're The Monkees.
Oh, never
heard. If that's even by The Monkees. Yeah, you have.
It's, hey, I guarantee it's gotta you be. All evidence points to that song is by The Monkees.
That's true. Well, you seen any movie trailers you want to review? Have you seen any actual movies?
No.
Do you have a Schaefer's pick of the week?
I don't have a Schaefer's pick of the week. I don't think. I didn't think of one anyway. I had a pretty off the grid week. I was in California with the girlfriend, which was pretty unbelievable.
Dang.
It was really sick, actually. And one thing I have to say about my time in California is this has nothing to do with goddamn anything, man. But we were at this. Okay, so California, we were in San Diego, and San Diego is not unlike a lot of other parts of California. There's a lot of homelessness and such.
But probably, you know, way less than Oh, sorry.
Oh, certainly less. Certainly less than like San Francisco and stuff. But yeah. We go into this bagel place, and I'm drinking a ton of coffee. So duty calls, you know. So I go to the bagel bathroom, and I'm sitting in there, and there's some sort of ruckus going on in the stall next to me. But I'm just like, we had been in California long enough that my I don't know, homeless people radar had gone. You know how you just sort of like turn it off, which is horrible to say, but it's like it's everywhere. It happens all around you, and you kind of,
yeah,
after a while, just like New York City, you just kind of like tune everything out. So I just tuned it out. Anyway, he's like banging on the wall and everything, and I'm just like, oh my god. So I'm like, okay, well, I gotta wrap this up. So he leaves like right about the time I'm about to leave, and so he walks out the door. I go wash my hands. Then I'm leaving, and there's this guy who's like the restaurant owner or whatever, and he's kicking the other guy out. But this guy's throwing up this whole stink, right? He's like yelling and screaming and everything. And so I walk out, and the restaurant owner guy, stops me, and he just looks at both of us, and he goes, "Were you two in the stall together?" And I was like, and this guy was like definitely on something, like he was like going crazy, and he just went dead silent. And he just looks at me with a crazy look in his eye, and he goes, "I've never seen him before in my life." And it was, it was like, so, it was crazy how fast this guy got sober.
Man, yeah, because you know, for a second in his head he was like, "Oh no, was that guy in there with me?"
Yeah. Yeah, and so then I'm standing there like, what do I look like, dude?
Yeah, the owner's trying to figure out if he should kick you out or not.
Yeah, and, yeah, dude, I was like totally, after that, I just was like, when we got back to the hotel room, I was looking in the mirror and I was like, do I look like the kind of guy that would frick a homeless guy in the bathroom stall? Is that the vibe I give off?
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So that happened.
That's a great story. I have no comments on that story.
Dude, I don't even know what to think about it. And then I was like, no, I'm here with my girlfriend. And then he was like, okay, man, whatever, whatever. And then I go back and sit next to Matt. You know, I just sit next to Maddie, and, you know, he's like peering at us. And I think he felt really bad because he had a pretty stunned look on his face at that point. But
the owner?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man.
But yeah, the best part was just hearing this guy literally slamming walls and freaking out, and then as soon as the restaurant owner thinks he's freaking me in the bathroom, he's like stone cold sober. He's like, no.
I've never seen that guy, I swear.
Yeah.
My standards are way higher than that. Right? Guy.
Yeah, I know, honestly. Yeah, so that was unique. Oh, definitely. Gosh. Definitely made me have a little bit of an internal crisis, but I'm better now.
Nice.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure he's great.
Yeah, totally. Man, that's cool. Did you bring your camera with you?
Yeah, I filmed, we went to, that's a whole nother thing. We went to Salvation Mountain, which I'm uploading a little video on Wednesday, kind of about Salvation Mountain, but man, that is a weird place. I mean, my video is about this, so I'm not going to tell the whole story here, but the backstory is basically, in a nutshell, dude hears a voice from God saying he has to spread the gospel, builds a hot air balloon doesn't take off, so he builds a mountain. That's the backstory of this crazy roadside attraction, and it's so wild. So if you're interested in the full story, I'm uploading it on Wednesday, but. Which
Man.
Will be tomorrow for the podcast viewers.
And if you're interested in knowing the whole story before the general public knows the whole story, you can join Schaefer's channel, because I already know the whole story because I'm a channel member and I got to see that video before it was even on YouTube.
Oh, you watched it. Oh, sick.
I watched it. Yeah. Yeah. That's sick that you went. It was cool because I didn't know the backstory. I've just like seen photos and just known that he built it for God, but I didn't know about the whole prequel to Salvation Mountain.
It was really interesting. I learned it because we listened to a podcast on the drive out, because it's like a 3-hour drive from San Diego. But the podcast we listened to was so bad. It was this guy who is basically telling the story, and then he had a co-host, which is basically like me, essentially, if you paralleled it. And he would tell a bunch of facts about it, and then the co-host would go, "Wow, that's really interesting. Tell me more."
That's basically just my role on this podcast.
No. I said that was my role.
No, you tell all the interesting stories, and I go, "Whoa, that's crazy."
That's not true. You told the story about the puppets.
Oh, that's true. I piggybacked off of your story and added puppets.
Whatever.
Okay.
I'm going to cut so much of that.
Yeah, I mentioned this before Schaefer and I were recording, but I'm working on a brand new audio setup today, so I don't know if it's going to be good or bad. I didn't even bother testing it on my own before we're recording, so hopefully this worked out.
Perfect.
Do you have any apologies?
I would like to No, I don't think so. I think I did pretty good. I kind of blacked out for this whole this whole thing. I remember I kind of lost my groove when I said that weird thing twice at the beginning of the podcast, and then I blacked out, and now I'm here.
Yeah, I don't remember anything weird you said at the beginning, and I don't remember what I talked about either. So I don't think I have any apologies.
Nice. Must have been a good one. Neither of us can remember, and it just happened.
Perfect. Well, I guess in that case, this is probably the last episode of Friends with Benedicts ever.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think if we said anything we regret or we don't have anything about ourselves that feels so inherently wrong that we have to apologize, it's not really a Friends with Benedicts, so.
Oh, that's true. But I feel like we're going to run into the same problem. It's too mainstream to quit right now, so we might have to do at least one more.
That's true. No, the truth is we're not quitting until 100 episodes, and at 100 episodes, we're going to get into a team huddle, just me and Schaefer. Well, we're not even getting into a team huddle. We'll probably have a team huddle and decide if we want to quit or not. But Schaefer has the nuclear codes. He gets to push the button and detonate the entire channel and delete them all at 100 episodes if he so chooses. So with that said,
that's a lot of pressure.
With that said, subscribe while you can. Leave a review while you can, because
make it hard on me.
We're almost halfway to 100 episodes.
Dang, it's going to be weird when this is all over. It's just a memory.
Yeah.
I'm pressing the button.
It'll just be like geese and flamingo trigger, baby. And it's people true. Say, man, I used to listen to these two idiots talk back in 2024. And now it doesn't exist anywhere anymore.
Back before we got another moon.
Yeah.
Just wait for space news when we get another moon. That's going to be a big episode.
I can't wait for more space news. That's my apology. Sorry there was no space news today.
No space news and no pick of the week, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what a banger. What a good job we've done.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for being here. Leave a thing. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.